You're listening to an Ada's Books podcast.
Welcome to Parenting and Bonding with Children's Books. Each Tuesday in our Facebook community, we go live to chat with a children's book author about the magic of books. Each book and author was chosen with you and your children in mind. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's Author Spotlight. Hey, hey, everybody. Thank you for watching. This is the 11th episode of the podcast, the Parenting and Bonding with Children's Books podcast. I'm excited to be sitting here with our author spotlight for tonight, Catherine Zampier. Catherine, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me, of course. Nice to see you, Gwen.
Nice to see you as well. So for those of you in the group, you've seen Catherine before. She was here earlier last week, Friday.
She was here Friday.
Yes, the time is flying. Flying right into summer. I love it.
Yes.
So Catherine did a read aloud of her book, One of 13, and we're here to discuss that tonight.
Right here.
There it is. So I'm just going to do a little intro for Catherine, and then we'll just take it away. So Catherine Zampier is constantly learning. I love that. And drawing inspiration from family stories, as well as writing and sharing family-themed picture books, like the one we have here for young and old. Her picture book, One of 13, which we'll discuss tonight, her picture book that we'll talk about tonight, One of 13, will help to spark conversations with children in your homes. And so we're so excited to talk about this book tonight. So Catherine, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I hail from New York State, upstate New York, around the Capital Region, which is Albany, New York. I live outside of Albany, New York. And if you don't know quite where Albany is, it's about 3 hours north of New York City and about 3 hours south of Montreal and about 3 hours west of Buffalo. And then we're about 5 hours, Boston, about 3 hours west of Boston and 5 hours east of Buffalo. So we're kind of like in a crossroads. So when I say upstate New York, a lot of people still think of Westchester County or whatever, but it's completely different than New York City. It's we still have snow on the ground, although this week, tomorrow and Thursday is supposed to get up to 60 degrees. So it's a nice place to live, but the summers, spring, summer, and falls are beautiful. We have mountains, Adirondack Mountains. There's a lot to do. Anyway, I am a mother. I'm a wife, a mother, a daughter, a grandmother, and I love all those roles. I work in an elementary school. It's called Donald P. Sutherland School, and I substituted taught for over 20 years. It just worked well with my family. I have three sons. And then I decided, now that they're out of the house, my husband and I are empty nesters, I took a teaching assistant job with a first grade class. Oh. I worked in special ed. I worked in regular ed. I'm working with a special ed student now this year. We are in session. We have in-person students coming. It's changing monthly, though. So they're upping the days when they can be in person starting next week. They'll be in person 3 days a week. So it's all good. I mean, we're all dealing with everything going on. As I said, I'm a grandmother. I have two granddaughters that live in Detroit. I have a son that lives in Baltimore. I have a son that lives in Italy. So I'm really an empty nester. So and with COVID, it's really hard. But I'm just so grateful for the internet and being able to keep in touch with them.
Yes.
I've also, my early life as a parent, I worked full time for a corporation. I worked for General Electric for 20 years.
Okay.
I don't know how I did it with three active boys, but you do it. You do what you have to do.
Yeah.
I remember those nights trying to get through the reading the books and keeping them on a schedule and the bath and the books. And it's a lot to it. I mean, they're the best days of your life. I mean, you just cherish them and enjoy them. But I still love picture books and I don't ever want to give them up. I get so many at the library. There's so many great books out there. And a little bit of my mission right now is to try to get into nursing homes, because my mother was in a nursing home and she passed away, but years ago. But some of these stories, and 1 of 13 is one of them, I want to read to older adults, because I really think it takes them back into history, into this particular book story takes back in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. In case you missed my read aloud, this takes place in the 1940s in a local town around here called Maplewood. It's based on a true story that my mother told, because she was so proud of being 1 of 13 children. And she had several stories. So I have some follow-up stories coming in on that, like playing games with having 13 kids. How does that work? And you can't find anyone to play with. How does that work? Yeah. Just so many little stories. So I really have a love for picture books and children's books. I'm a member of SCBWI, which is Society of Children's Picture Books and Illustrators, Authors. Mm-hmm. And books are changing too. I mean, as working mm-hmm. in a school, books are changing a little bit. It's funny how there's trends and things change, but there's so much heart in so many stories, like some of the old stories or whatever. But I think part of my mission to writing books is I want to share family stories, because I feel like they're lost or it's too late. Like, you want to hear about it when you're older, but maybe when kids were younger, they would get so much out of it because they think of it as an adventure. They don't may not connect it to historical or, wow, grandma was a child once? Really? Mm-hmm. So that's why in this book I have questions in the back, which makes it kind of a keepsake where questions can be asked. And you can actually write down the answers in the book. Questions such as, since the story has to do with the main character, Olga, my mother, disobeying her mother, one question is, why have you ever disobeyed your mother when you were a child? It might be something you'd ask an auntie or grandmother. And even so stories like this can prompt, and I know you've said it, Quinn, spark conversations and get mm-hmm. conversations going. I know working in a school, there's very little time to read books. I hate to say it, but there's not enough time. Let's put it that way. We read
books. I'm so glad you said that.
There's not enough time allotted to it. I mean, we might do one book a day to the class. Not even though at my school anyway. These are first graders. And even when we do read, there's not a lot of time to discuss it. You know, we might get 3 questions about it, but there's not a lot of time to discuss it. There's just so much there. So that's why reading at home is so important, to bring up a story you want to bring up to your child. Maybe something's going on in the world. You want to get a story that relates to that. Maybe it has something to do with something that happened in your family. I was always looking for stories, themes when I was picking books out. Maybe there's, you know, something happened, a rocket went off, and you want to learn about astronauts. I try to tie it in with current events. One thing I do really like with COVID now, one of the, you know, the silver linings that we talk about through some of this pandemic, is ordering books online through the library. Well, I should say loaning them online through the library. Mm-hmm. Because you can browse just like you're shopping on Amazon, but go through the library, and they have we have a couple great libraries in a consortium here, and I drive by, get my books, drop them off, and usually have them for 4 weeks. And I just think that is great. We didn't have that service before. You always had to walk in and browse the actual shelves, and it took more time. Now, so mothers out there, use that library service. It is so valuable. And libraries are trying to keep up with all the latest books, too. So that's one thing good. Starting, so sharing family stories. I think one of the advantages that helps children is that it gives them a sense of belonging. And this is for all children, not just biological children, foster children, adoption. It gives them a sense of belonging, knowing where the people they live with, where they came from, what they experience. And, you know, some of it's not always that, may not be always that good. So you can kind of filter that, bring it up at the right time, appropriate time. My mother certainly had a lot of heartbreaks, some tragedies in her life that I won't put in picture book, but it does bring the opportunity to do that. And I just don't know if people are doing that as much now, sitting around tables, especially now when we're on, you know, technology, and there's a lot of good things with technology, but I think it's just a good time to get that conversation going. And I think it brings a positiveness to children, because children always, people want to be, they want to belong to something. I know I was very close with my cousins. They were my first friends. I actually wrote a book about it, and we're so far apart now. I just don't know if, I just see it with my own family. We're far apart. We don't get close to our cousins as much, and there aren't as many as So, I don't know, kind of rambling on, but that's one of my missions, writing some of these older stories of yesteryear, to bring back some of that feel and some of that escapism to a past time where there are still some of the same values. You know, Olga was just very grateful of her family, and that still happens today. So just relatable to modern day.
Yes. Yeah. Catherine, so many great things you said. I wish that I could speak on everything, because there were so many moments where I wanted to go. Oh, I'm so glad. So the first thing that I'll say is we really appreciate your mission, right? Because this book is excellent for anybody to read, no matter, you know, your background, where you're from, or what your family, you know, is like. It's right. So interesting when I shared this book with Aiden to see a family, one of 13, to have so many siblings is so new to Aiden. Yeah. And I kind of, you know, after I read it, I'm like, goodness, because he's been asking me for a sibling for a long time.
It might spark a conversation like that too.
Yeah. So it can spark those conversations, right? But learning about family and things like that are so, like that question that you asked in the back of your book, have you ever gotten in trouble? That is like such juicy information for kids, especially Aiden's in first grade. So it's such good information for them. They love to hear about those kinds of things. So I'm glad that you have those questions in the back of your book.
Yeah, I have 13 questions. I have more on my website as well. But these questions that don't come up, so it's just, they may come up when you're older, and when you're older, sometimes it's not the same. You're not getting the same answer. You want to get like a kid friendly answer. You want to get a different perspective.
And it's always, I mean, even for myself, I mean, I still read picture books as well. You know, we go to the library and I pick books out for Aiden. I'm picking books out for myself as well. Yeah. Recently I was talking to Aiden about, you know, the importance of talking to asking, because he asked me a lot of questions about what life was like growing up. And I said, you know, these are all really great questions and I love answering them for you, but you should really talk to your grandma and your grandfather and your great grandmother, because not a lot of children have that lineage still alive to be able to pull information from them. And you should, you know, ask them these questions, and that will be such a joyous experience for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was recently able to, even in my 30s, talk to my grandmother. We bonded over words. She writes poetry. And I was able to hear some of her poetry, and she heard some of mine. And it's just through picture book, through story, through poetry, is such a powerful immersion of lives and generations. And I think that more people should take advantage of the ability to do that, you know, while our families are still here. And even if they aren't, your book sparks also. Have you ever done, you probably don't need to, because you have a lot of your family, you have, how many uncles and aunts did you say you had again?
Well, just on my mother's side,
yeah,
I forget what I wrote in there, but over 50. Well, aunts and uncles. Wait a minute. That's cousins.
Okay.
Well, I had, you know, there's some through marriage. So I had 12 aunts or uncles on my, you know, not even married on my mother's side. And when my father came from a large family, too, there were six children in my father's family. So
okay,
most of them had usually like four children, three or four children. So the cousins really multiplied.
Gotcha.
And we would get together. And another one thing you said is speaking to your grandparents or grandmother or great-grandparents, you know, Aiden has such a unique bond with them. And they have a unique bond with them. So much different than what you could share. Because you could share a story that you heard from your great, from your grandmother. That's his great-grandmother. But hearing it directly from them is just unique, makes them feel special.
Yes.
Like I said, they realize that, oh, they were young once. You know, my father grew up on a farm, loved hearing. So there's so many stories, questions I wish I asked my father because he wasn't a talker. So, you know, sometimes you get some parents that tell you a lot of things. My mother was one. She talked a lot about stories. The poor nurses at the nursing home, you know, I had a apologize for tell the same stories over and over.
Yeah.
But yeah, that unique, that's why I love like giving, you know, obviously I'm older and I have a lot of friends that are grandparents and they've really enjoyed the book. They've really made some nice comments and they've been challenged by some of the questions. Just because they don't know how their grandson or granddaughter will take it, respond, because it may be some new, like you say, new vocabulary about trains we took all the time or hitchhiking, you know, things like that, or, you know, having one drawer in a dresser, because not that they were even, they didn't know it. I mean, that's all they knew. It wasn't anything wrong with that, but how they learned to share and just realizing what it was like to live like almost with your classroom classmates. You know, of course, they were from ages, whatever, large range. But it was just a different time then.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel for even those children that are reading the book with their families that do come from a large family. I had one brother, one sister, right? But I feel like you need to be reminded that having a bunch of siblings can actually be a good thing. Cause as you're going through the experience when you're younger, there's so many cons, right?
You don't think so. You don't. Yeah. You share things, you have to share, you get hand-me-downs. Right.
Yeah.
Especially not enough to go around.
Yep. Especially if you're in a small space, like it seemed like you indicated in the book that there was it was a small space in the home.
Yeah.
So I know that can be challenging.
I mean, I remember because my one room just fit the bed in the room and it looked like a decent house. But, you know, and this was in the 40s before really they had any kind of assistance, social assistance, you know. They made friends with farmers. They lived in the city. And that's why I say there were a lot of snooping neighbors because it wasn't an ethnic neighborhood with immigrants. But, I say snooping in a nice way, not to be mean, but they watched each other because when you had 13 children, you couldn't keep an eye on all of them. Let's face it, you know, some were older. So neighbors kept track of people coming and going because, you know, it was a safety issue and just concern out of concern. And that's when the village really did help grow some of the children, which happens today too. And there's a lot of good neighborhoods now too.
In some areas, I was looking at some of the reviews, and of course, I've seen your book quite a few times myself, and I can agree that the illustrations are very nostalgic. Just the method the illustrator used. Can you tell us about how you found your illustrator? What that process was like?
Sure. I worked through a local publisher, so I didn't quite self-published the book just on my own. I worked through a local publisher from Saratoga Springs Publishing. And so I which was really helpful for me as my first book. She was like a cheerleader. She can guide me. You know, you have so many questions and doubts, whatever. I saw the person who did my illustrations, Robert Wayne Bodie. I saw an exhibit he had at our local library, and it was an exhibit of community members. And I just thought it was such a neat idea. He had taken photographs and turned them into oil paintings. So like the principal of the school or a teacher of a school or, you know, someone who worked at like the local, convenience store. You know, he kind of idolized them a little bit as workers in our community. He did about 20. Yes. And I just liked the realism of it. And I knew it was from a photograph. I mean, there was a technique he called it. So I always remembered that. And then I also met a friend through school. She was also an illustrator. And she had published a book. So she was already published. So those were the two people I keyed in. I was going to go with three, but I started with those two people. Mm-hmm. And they both did a great job. The school teacher, her drawings were more cartoonish. And okay. I really wanted the realism.
Yeah.
That's why I went with Bob, because he could take a photograph and kind of make it into realism. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I chose him. And he, as it turned out, he lived in my town. Okay. I mean, I didn't know who he was really that much, but he did exhibit at our library, but he didn't live far from me. So that made it helpful too. Even though we were doing this during COVID, everything was Zoom. But he would take a picture of, say, this scene, for example. This is the actual street that my mother grew up on.
Yeah.
He got the church in the back that they went to. And he did a little research. He got a, I don't know if it's a Packard car. I forget what he said. But this is actually the street. So, you know, that was kind of sentimental for me and nice to do. So that's how I got my illustrator. And I was fortunate because it was his first book. So we were kind of learning together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was also recommended, if anyone's thinking of publishing a book or doing a book, is to go through the local colleges, some of the art schools, if they have an art program.
It's a good idea.
Look for some students that have done exhibits, you know, like usually seniors or graduate students. They're learning the trade themselves. They don't charge as much as some of the professionals who have work that's already been accomplished and that you can find online. So that was the other avenue I was going to go, and I just didn't get that far.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. And you said the Maplewood, right? Maplewood, New Jersey.
It's actually Maplewood, New York.
Okay.
It's Maplewood, New Jersey. But this little town is just, it's a hamlet. It's not as big as Maplewood, New Jersey. But it was called Maplewood, part of a town called Warble League, which is in Albany County.
Gotcha.
So I didn't talk about it a lot in here, but the newspaper photo I use, I've made it the Maplewood Times. And people who are from that area know that they understand, they recognize the street and some of the things we wrote. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to bring some of that nostalgia back.
Yes. So,
and my goal is when I write, I have some other stories that I've written, is to write something about all the children, all 13. They all have a story. Three were in the war, which is another thing to talk about with children. And it just sparks history, some history too in there that they'll get later on. But even if they hear a little bit of it in their early part of their childhood, it won't be such a foreign thing when they get and have to learn it in school.
Yes, I'm glad you say that, because books are often a nice introduction to what kids will be learning later. And like you said, if we introduce it early on, it won't be a surprise and it'll be easier to take in the information when they actually in school learning those same concepts. So,
right.
And that was actually the next thing I was going to ask you. How many more stories do you plan to bring us from your family?
Well, I have one now that I've sent out to publishers waiting to hear back. It's on, I've changed the title a couple of times, but Won't You Play With Me, something like that. Okay. And it's not all good. She's trying to play her game of Chinese checkers. She was a big Chinese checkers player. And no one will play this game. All these people have their reasons. Somebody's doing the jitterbug. Of course, some historical facts come in. The jitterbug was popular back then. So no, yeah. My sister's doing the jitterbug. She's dancing around me. Nope, she can't play. My little brother, Paul, is in the bathroom. They had one bathroom. He's banging on the door. Come out, play with me. No, I'm learning a new song in the bathroom, you know, because that's the only place where they get some peace and quiet. So it's
goodness. Stuff.
I have one on cousins. I have one about my Uncle Harry, which was August's brother, which is a little tricky to write because he was an artist. And, you know, he was always, such a neat man and a singer and a partier. But he had I don't know if he had PTSD or what. He was in war. He never married. And he was... So that's kind of a delicate subject to try to bring into a children's book, but I want to try to attempt to do something like that, that he had this little depression on at some times. But, yeah, he was a partier, and he would sing, and he was always so nice to his nieces and nephew. And then I have one other book that I'm really working a lot on, trying to get published. It's on dragon boating, which has nothing to do with families. It's just something I do. It's a team sport that I'm part of. Anyway,
okay. Okay.
Dragon boy. I'm sure you have it in Texas somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I've heard of it before. What did you say it was called again?
Yeah, it's growing. It's not in the Olympics yet, but it's a team of 20 people on a boat, and it's great exercise. And
okay.
Yeah.
How often is this like a seasonal sport?
Yeah, up here we have to do it.
I thought it would be winter, but.
Yeah, no, we up here we have to do it in the summer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me see. Somebody wants to know if you can show the street again.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. 55 Cahose Road was the address, and it's still there today, although they changed the numbers when they, let's see, let me get back a little bit. Oh, gosh. That's the street. Yeah.
I love the colors.
Yeah, and this was their house with the flag hanging.
Yeah.
So actually this week, because Olga's parents were immigrants, they came early part of the century, around the 1900s, mm-hmm. were immigrants. I'm talking to a fourth grade class this week about, I'm tying it in with immigration. So the teacher wants to read the story and talk a little bit about immigration and how Olga's mother, who was an immigrant, was very strict, did not take to the American ways where the children, of course, wanted to be. Oh, gosh. It's the opposite side. Here it goes.
Wanted to be
Americanized, as people were. In New York, the curriculum on immigration is very European immigration. But they're learning more about other types of immigration. But coming into Ellis Island. And how she didn't speak English or very good English, and how the children wanted to be Americanized, and the parents didn't like that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And again, listening to the family stories, if they have a grandparent or great-grandparent that maybe was an immigrant, now's a great time to bring that up and talk about what it was like.
Yes.
From a different country.
So I know that you did a read aloud in the group, right? But the podcast goes out to so many other people. So if you had to give us a little summary of your book, I don't think we talked about so much, but I don't think we did like a summary of your book.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a summary?
Sure. One of 13 is about one girl. Her name is Olga, who is my mother. So it's part memoir, part fictional story. And Olga is about 10 years old in the story. She is, I would say, I describe her personality as kind of adventurous. She wants to she's seeking some treasure. Okay, she's seeking a lucky penny.
Yes.
She wants to bring her penny to the train tracks. Mm-hmm. Her mother warns her not to go because it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away too much of the story, but she brings her sister Eva with her, and something happens that when she goes against her mother's wishes or warnings, something happens, and she needs to get all her family, all her brothers and sisters, all 12 of them together to help solve her problem or help fix what happened.
Okay. So that appreciation of your siblings.
And then she's very grateful that she's still one of 13. If she does have a happy ending.
Wonderful.
A little suspense in there, but it does have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is a picture of the front cover, the actual front porch. They had a cat, Mootsie. And as you can see, they range from like early 20s to a baby. You know, they had a lot of kids. No twins or anything, but all single.
Okay, no twins. Yeah. I didn't even think to ask
all
about
divorced. That. Yeah. So kind of interesting family. A lot of stories.
So let's talk about where to find the book. Where is the best place to find you online? I know the book is on Amazon. Where else is the book available?
Well, I have it in some of my local bookstores here in the Albany region. Mm-hmm. But probably the best way is through my website, which is www.katherinezampier.com. Mm-hmm. You can purchase it directly through there. I also have some events going on, some newsy stuff, some
wonderful,
a few activities. It's a works in progress. I want to add some more on, you know, working in school. I hope to do that more this summer. So Amazon, my website, you can always Instagram me or reach me through Facebook. I see it on the screen. If you do go through my website and you have a question about if you want it signed, if you want it signed and a special message in it, I would go right through my website. I don't go directly because through Amazon, I can't do that. But you know, you get an email to me through my website. So I think I think that's a lot of coverage.
Yes.
Just go to Amazon, one of 13. You put my name in or one of 13. It will come up.
Okay. I will make sure to share the link inside of the group if I haven't already. Make sure you guys head over to Katherine's website. She has plenty of resources there. She does, as we said in the beginning, she loves to recommend picture books for young and old. So check that out. First, check out her book. It's beautiful. It's nostalgic and it'll help spark some conversations with your kiddos in the home. That's very important. So one of 13 from Katherine Zampier. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Quinn. I love what you're doing, sharing good news about reading. I love it. It's about literacy and reading and learning. It's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, I didn't even ask you my last golden question. Is there anything else on your heart to share about your book?
Your last golden question. I think we talked a lot about it.
We did. We talked about quite a bit. I put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
I do have, this is the actual family in the book. I did want to say something in the book. I also have a family tree, another tool or keepsake to put in writing your grandparents' name, your great-grandparents' name. It's not real detailed, so it's good. It's age appropriate for young children to do it with an adult, though. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage people to put first and last names, not just grandma or nana or whatever.
Yeah.
Put their first middle name and married name or unmarried name. And this has place for four siblings. Of course, if there's more, you just put it on the back. But it's just a simple family tree that you can fill in I would do it with an adult. You can make it neat and correct and just keep it in the book. And it's a keepsake. It's a tool to pass down, to share, and to look at on and on. So, again, also, when children are talking to their grandparents or whatever, grandparents have more fun telling stories than I think the kids get out of it. So be prepared for that.
They do.
Yeah.
Before we come out, I just want to see if we have any comments here. So somebody says, yeah, nosy neighbors were appreciated back in the day.
For the most part.
They were. So everybody was looking for pennies. They don't do that today. But no. She remembers people looking around for coins and pennies and things like that.
Yeah.
Beautiful illustrations, very nicely done, very detailed. So
good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you guys are watching on the replay, just let us know. Hashtag replay. If you have any questions for Catherine, she is in the group and we love her being here. So she'll be available to answer any questions. Check out her website. Let us know. Are you guys one of 13? One of two?
I love to hear large family stories. In fact, my illustrator was his mother was one of 14. So that was another. He had a little connection. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I love hearing large family stories. And just make a comment. I'd love to hear. Especially the funny little stories, because there's always little funny little stories that come out of large families.
Yes. Let us know, guys. All right. Well, okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for watching. And you all have a great night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Keep the family alive.
Yes.